Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tengwall. Landon, after all that rain on Friday, we got some great weather for the weekend. You better be out golfing at some point, my friend.
You're absolutely right, Jim. Listen, I thought I was getting a little depressive. Like we didn't see the sun for 4 days. I'm like, it's August. I'm starting to get this like winter depression feel. Everybody was in the house. It was like, dude, what is happening? Felt really good to get outside. And you're absolutely right, Jim, that I have a tea time tonight for people that are here on Monday. I have it last night out at Mountain View and at Penn State. And I am quite excited about it. There's nothing like having a tea time. The end of the day, you know, you're going to have a nice dusk tea time with the sun setting right on you. You can't ask for anything better. And it makes my whole day leading up to it just that much better. It's like a little kid knowing he's going to get ice cream after dinner. Damn it. It makes it all better.
Do you know what's sad here, Landon? At least you're golfing today. Me, I'm not golfing till Thursday this week. And I already feel that way. I've got my whole week. And I'm going, I think we may have mentioned this in the show about a month or 2 months ago. I got a chance. Very seldom do I get to do this. My brothers each live a couple hours away from me in opposite directions, of course. And we manage one of the few times to get together. We golf together, have the absolute best time, which means we want to do it again. So that's coming up this Thursday, Landon. So I can't wait for that. I'm already excited about that. But you know what else I'm excited about, Landon?
What's that, Jim?
We are close to the season starting, okay? Finally. And adding to my excitement, guess what time it is? It's time for Landon's Stat of the Week.
We had to bring it over from Landon and Jim versus the world. There's too many stats floating around the Twitter sphere and all around, so...
I absolutely love these stats that you come up with. They are fantastic. The floor is yours, my friend. What is the stat of the week?
All right. So this week we are talking college football playoffs. And this is based off of power rankings of your strength of schedule, who you have to play. And this is teams most likely to make the college football playoffs for the first time. So that's since that 2014 transition where we have true playoffs. It's been a bunch of teams that have been there, but Penn State is obviously one of them that has not been there. And I'll tell you, so Penn State is the most likely team to make this 12-team playoff to never have been in the playoffs before. They are 71%. That's their likelihood, based off strength of schedule, to make it to the college football playoffs. The next closest team that has never made it to the college football playoffs and that is, you know, predicted, I guess, kind of to go in is Missouri at 31%. So we're 40% more likely, based off strength of schedule, to make it to the college football playoffs for the first time than any other team that has not made it for the first time. So all that says is a lot of pressure, Jim. That's what it sounds like on Drew Aller, James Franklin. It's you basically, according to your schedule, you know, you don't play Michigan this year. You better make it to the college football playoffs. You have room. You know, obviously you can lose to Ohio State. There's that. Now, can you lose to a USC away? Can you lose to Wisconsin away? One of those, West Virginia away. We were just talking about that. A lot of people aren't. You know, we'll get into that in a little bit, but there is definitely some games that are not, you know, 100% just easy. You're going to steamroll them. I think those three games all, especially because they're being away, and we play Wisconsin away after we got USC bye week, Wisconsin away. Like there's a possibility to maybe drop a game in there. So we got to be going into these games with our head on straight. And, you know, you go 10-2. There's a possibility if that second loss is a really bad loss, you could see yourself outside of that top 12, Jim.
It's an interesting stat in so many ways. There's so many things I want to attack with this, Landon. Well, let me start with this, though. Penn State, 70% or 71% chance of making the playoffs. And obviously, it's both their talent and strength of schedule, their ability to make it. You said Missouri is next at 31%. Could you do that? You have the rest of the list. Can you give me just a couple more names, you know, like 3, 4, 5?
We got at 30% right after that. Ole Miss is 30% likely to make it. They have a really tough schedule. I think that's why. Very good team, but they play some really elite teams, like 4 or 5 elite teams. Then we got Miami, the U, at 29%. Tennessee at 26%. So the five most likely are Penn State up at 71%, according to strength of schedule. Mizzou down to 31%, Ole Miss 30%, Miami 29%, Tennessee 26%. And the closest Big Ten team is now USC at 18%. So the closest Big Ten team to Penn State is, Jim, I don't know, you're kind of a math guy, aren't you? 71 to 80, 18%.
That's 53% difference.
There we go.
50. Well, is Iowa on the list?
Iowa is not on the list. I mean, it goes far down. There's a lot of teams where it goes down to like 2%, 1%. Colorado's the last team on the list at 1%. There's a couple 1%ers. But outside of that, I mean, Big Ten, we got USC at 18%.
Did Iowa make the playoffs 1 year?
No, they didn't make it.
I can't.
Since 2014, definitely not. No, definitely not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think they're looking too good this year. That should be kind of. West Virginia is down at 3%. There's that.
Well, here's the thing with a couple of those listings, like Ole Miss within the Southeast Conference and everything that comes with it. I'm not sure they do have that tough a schedule, Landon. Their out-of-conference schedule looks like this. Furman, Middle Tennessee, Wake Forest, and Georgia Southern. They're not going to lose any of those games. Their first two games are Kentucky and South Carolina. I think they will win those games. Going forward, then, it's LSU they have. They also have Oklahoma, and they have Georgia. So I think those are the three losable games. I don't think they'll beat Georgia, but, you know, LSU and Oklahoma, I think they could win those games. So I don't think – really, to me, they only have three – it's a three-game schedule for them, essentially, those three games. So I think they have a shot. And to just Missouri has even less of a testing schedule in the Southeast Conference. Their, quote-unquote, tough games are Texas A&M, Alabama and Oklahoma.
Yeah, I just realized I misspoke when I was thinking that that Ole Miss had a tough schedule. I was thinking about Florida. Florida plays the U to start. Then they have Texas. I mean, they got Samford, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, UCF, which you know can be good from time to time. Then you go Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State. I mean, that is a doozy of a schedule for Florida. And on that list, Florida does sit at 10%, by the way. When T-Bone did all that, that was before the college football playoff format that we had and now have.
They ain't making the playoffs, Landon.
No.
And you mentioned it, but it's worth repeating. Their last five games are Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Florida State. That's an incredible five-game stretch. They are not making the playoffs. The other part of this discussion, you mentioned, you know, Penn State at 70%. I guess my question to you is, yes, this will put more pressure on them. Is having been part of the team, how does that manifest itself? Will James Franklin feel that pressure, do you think?
Yeah, I think you definitely feel it. Like when you're going into a week, for example, let's say like Ohio State last year where you already lost to Michigan, I think, wait, right? Or no, Michigan was after.
No, it was the other way.
The other way. Like when you already lost that one game, you're going to that second game. And now we don't, you know, it's not like that every year for us now. We're not going to play both teams every year. But every time we went into that first big game, whether it was Ohio State or Michigan first, and you lost the first one, you go into that second big game, there is that pressure where it's like, okay, you know, if we win this game, we still have a shot. We can still go to the Big Ten championship. We can still do all of this. If we lose this game, it's pretty much back to a decent bowl game. Same thing we do every year. So I will say in those instances, that's where I felt that you could kind of feel the pressure just kind of floating around the last football building a little bit. But I think in general, there definitely is a lot of pressure on Penn State this year. There's pressure because NIL is not performing. There's pressure because we haven't beaten Ohio State since 2016. You know, it's just Coach Franklin's record isn't that great against these top five, top 10 teams. So I think everybody's feeling that. And it's almost, you know, the conversation is, hey, you know, hey, 10 wins, that should be great. You know, my fan base would love to have 10 wins. You guys are spoiled. That's what you complain about. It's like, well, yeah, you know, that sounds good. Yeah, we're definitely spoiled. We win a lot. But there was a standard that was built here. And we need to start winning those type of games. And like I said, I think that pressure is starting to trickle down where it's like, hey, you got the five-star quarterback. You got the elite running backs. You have an elite defense. You have a very good offensive line, got a little bit younger, but still good. It's time to go. Like, there's no more excuse. It's not – you don't have a three-star quarterback back there that you're having to manage and kind of just service. It is – you have the guy that is supposed to be the dude, lead the offense. Like I said, you still have an elite defense. It's like you have a top-five defense every year. I think the pressure is kind of there, Jim, on James Franklin and company to really do something. I think you'd have to win – for this season, I think you got to win at least one playoff game to call it a success. I think anything less than winning one playoff game the first round, you know, depending where we're seated, you know, obviously if we're slotted against a team that's a lot better than us, it, you know, wouldn't be a heartbreak to lose. But I think that's the only way you measure success in this season. For me, you got to win at least one playoff game, Jim.
Well, my take on – well, first of all, the James Franklin with the media, he sends messages in those press conferences. It's not just ad lib off the cuff when he says things. And when he talks in terms of, oh, geez, you know, it's such a high standard here and people aren't happy with 10 wins and they should be, essentially. And then he'll couch that with, oh, but we embrace that pressure. We do. I think he's saying, he's telling us, come on, people, I keep winning 10 games every year and you're not happy about it. I think that is James feeling that pressure a bit, that he's got to win more than just go 10-2 and not make the playoffs. Landon, we'll talk more about that when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. And quarter number one, Landon brought out his stat of the week. It was an interesting list talking about teams who have not made the playoffs, the four-team playoff, which has been going on for the last 10 years or so. And it's a list of teams that have never made the playoffs and what the percentage is for them to make it this coming year. And Penn State is by far at the top of this list. They are at 70%. And we're talking about what kind of pressure that adds to James Franklin and the team. And I do think there's a lot of pressure. We were talking about James Franklin when asked about it and asked about the playoffs. His reaction to it was almost that, okay, at Penn State, we're one of the few programs in the country that we win 10 games and the fan base isn't happy. And, you know, but he follows that up with, but we embrace that pressure. I'm not sure that James does. He seemed a little bit sensitive about it to me, Landon.
Yeah, I definitely think there is some of that. When you're constantly doing pretty well, considering, you look around and you use other guys going, you know, 6 wins, 8 wins, whatever, and you still have people ragging on you, that could start to get to you a little bit. But here's something that I brought this up a couple weeks ago, I think, and I would always talk with my dad back when I was still playing, and we'd say, you know, hey, this is after we got Drew and Nick. I think this was in the 2022 season. And my dad, he would always say, you know, you guys are going to be really good in that 2024 season when all those guys, Denai, Drew, Nick, Katra, are all going into their NFL year, basically. And I remember being all like, yeah, I totally agree. And everybody kind of thought the same thing. Can't wait for that. And it doesn't have the feel of the fact of that, you know, that 2022 class that came in was the best class in a long time. Like I said, KJ, Denai, all those guys I just listed. But it doesn't feel like we're in that realm of, it's like, oh, it's their last year. Like, we're going to send our seniors out on top. We're going to go for a natty. You know, that is possible, but it's just, you know, it doesn't have that feel to it. Like I said, that I just always remember me and my dad discussing that, oh, that year we're going to be freaking elite. It's going to be insane. And it just doesn't really feel like that. That is going to be the outcome for sure. Now, we can't say that absolutely, but that's just kind of the vibe that I get. It's not a dominant vibe that this team is giving off yet.
And Landon, the national story, the national vibe, if you will, or the national take on Penn State is they've underachieved. You keep seeing that. Here's the record against Michigan and Ohio State. Here's the record against top five teams. And I will grant that a lot of those statistics are unfair. Okay. Those top five teams are top five teams because they win all their games, essentially. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you could take outside of Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and you get their record against top five teams, they're going to be similar or worse than what James Franklin has had. That's the way those things work statistically. So I get that. And Penn State has always had the situation where they've been in the same division with Ohio State and Michigan. And until 3 years ago, it was really Ohio State was that elite team. And Penn State was holding its own with Michigan. It was only Ohio State that was, really established themselves at a higher level than Penn State. So now you have the last 3 years where Michigan has attained that level. So last 3 years, Penn State 0-6 against those two teams, two losses every year. They have to accept that that's what they've done, and that's the storyline that the media is going to put out there until they start winning a couple of those games.
Yeah, and that, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but I think some of that falls under recruiting. When you constantly are going against someone that is ending up in the top five of recruiting, and you might sneak into the top five 1 year, but you are generally in the bottom, closer to 10, sometimes in the 12 range, that shows up on the field. Coaches can only overcome so much. So there's that first, and then talking about the feelings of the fans of how we have underachieved at Penn State. And I'll say this, you know, if we go back and implement the 12-team playoff when they put in the 14 playoffs, so let's go back to 2014 and put it in. I mean, we would have made the playoffs in 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. We would have missed it in 2020 and 2021, would have went in 22, would have went in 23. So, I mean, you know, I'm not, that's a lot of what ifs, but I'm just saying, if this was, I believe, and I'm almost certain on this fact, I need to double check this, but I believe we were the team that would benefit the most. Like I said, if we went back and implemented that 12-team playoff back in 2014, there's no team that would have benefited more from us if we would have had a 12-team playoff back then. So, I mean, this expansion favors Penn State more than any team around. So, I mean, that is evident, favors us more than any team around. I think that is evident. So that is definitely something Penn State fans should be excited about. Basically, if we don't have an off year like 2020 or 2021, we're pretty much going to the playoffs. That's what it has seemed like if it were to have been 12 teams. So if we continue on that track, there's a lot of playoffs ahead. But now when you're in those playoffs, there's a lot of big games, and we have really struggled in big games. That's just the matter of the fact. So the fact of the matter, excuse me. And it's, you know, so I mean, that's what it is. We have to win those big games. We just have really struggled against these elite opponents.
And here's what they're up against, though, I think this season, which makes it a little different than the last couple of years. Both the Big Ten and Southeast Conference have changed. For the Big Ten, it's the addition of the Pac-12 schools, USC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA. And also, I think Penn State's affected by the fact that both Texas and Oklahoma went to the Southeast Conference. So now, when it comes time, I think that there's going to be a mess, okay, when it comes time for the playoffs. I believe there's going to be a boatload of teams with two losses. And how does that tiebreaker work? And it's going to be strength of schedule. And if we look at Penn State, if we give them a loss to Ohio State, and what do you want to do? Give them a loss to USC?
I think, in my opinion, I think, yes, going out to the West Coast, I think we are more likely to eke out in that game. I think it's Wisconsin away, Jim.
Okay, let's say Wisconsin. My fear then is at 10-2, what's the big win that Penn State could hang their hat on when it comes time for a tiebreaker?
I mean, it depends on their records, but I guess it'd have to be a Washington, USC, or West Virginia. And those are not big wins. Those are mediocre wins.
Yes. Perhaps USC will turn out to be a very good team. I think the problem with USC being a very good team is Penn State might lose that game. But and Washington, with all the changes they went through, I mean, this might turn into like a 7-5 team or 8-4, and it may not have that kind of, impressive win type deal. Now, we talked about, some of those teams like LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, Oklahoma, Tennessee in the Southeast Conference. And I think the teams that come out of there with only two losses will say, hey, take a look at who we beat. And I think Penn State, and I've had this discussion with a lot of people, a lot of fans are, hey, 10-2, we're in the playoffs. Not so fast. I'm fearful that a 10-2 Penn State will not make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, and honestly, I actually saw someone playing around on social media, and they basically made a playoff where there's like 14 10-2 teams. Now, that's very unlikely. But, I mean, no, you're right, though. That is a reality that we have to face where, we're guaranteed. If we have one loss to Ohio State, we're guaranteed in. There's no question
exactly
about that. But, that is the biggest question. When you look at these other teams, let's say it's like an Ole Miss, and they have two losses. Well, let's say they have a nice SEC win against probably a top 25 opponent. Do you see USC, these other teams that we're looking to beat? Let's just say it's Wisconsin. Do you see USC with West Virginia, with Washington ending up as a top 25 team? Because if not, I mean, now we're talking, we don't even have a top 25 win. That is definitely something that I think the committee will take into consideration. Now, when we're talking about being taken into consideration, there also is the fact that we're Penn State, so we do get a little bit of that lobbying because we are so, impactful. The name carries weight. They know we travel well. They will want us in the playoffs if they can, but sometimes on the field can matter a little bit more than off the field. So, I am definitely curious to see how that's going to pan out for Penn State, but let's just take care of business. Hey, let's just beat Ohio State this year. I'll tell you what, Jim. I say it all the time. I'm tired of seeing Marcus Allen block a kick. For it's like a highlight reel in 2024. I'm like, dude, I was like an eighth grade recruit when that game happened. I remember it. I'm tired of seeing those highlights. We need to beat Ohio State this year.
Well, the thing that, and just one last quick note on scheduling and how that works. I did a mock Southeast Conference. I played out the season. Okay. Essentially, if you play Vanderbilt, you win. Okay. I actually had it where, based on the where these teams ranked in somebody's top 25, I don't know if it's ESPN's or whose I used, and I had all the games go to chalk, meaning whoever was ranked higher would win the game, okay? So everything went to plan. The Southeast Conference had seven teams with two losses or fewer, okay? So what then? Do you really think that a two-loss Southeast Conference team will not get in over a two-loss Penn State? And that's what this may come down to. And I know the, you know, the way I played it out isn't the way it'll play out in reality, Landon, but it gives you an idea of how things could fall, especially with the Southeast Conference just having 8 conference games. So, yes, go 11-1. And to your point earlier about this is – Penn State has stars at a lot of positions. All the guys you name, Singleton and Allen at running back, Aller at quarterback, Tyler Warren at tight end, Abdul Carter, Denai Dennis Sutton, KJ Winston. There's a lot of star power there, Landon. And one could look at that and say, there's a reason for this team to be confident and say, you know what? We should be at least 11-1 coming out of this season if we beat the teams that we're supposed to. And candidly, there's no reason. I know Ohio State has a lot of talent, but you got them at home, Landon, and there's a chance to beat them this year. I know you want to respond. I'm going to let you do that as soon as we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3. He's Landon. I'm Jim. Landon, we finished up quarter number 2 with me pontificating about this season coming up. You like that?
Have you been doing like SAT prep course? Like, where did that come from?
Well, that was a word with a lot of syllables in it, but I got I got away with it. And my point was a little bit taking your point about there's a lot of star power on this Penn State team. And I know Ohio State is absolutely loaded, Landon. They are. But this is a Penn State team that should feel pretty good about themselves, even playing an Ohio State team at home.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we got stars at every single level, Jim. And, you know, as you name drop some of those guys, it feels like in the past where it's kind of been like, and I actually – was just on a radio show yesterday and someone asked me, you know, did you guys, you know, what's the feeling going into Ohio State and Michigan? Why did you guys always lose those games? And I said, you know, hey, it really did feel like we were prepared every time. There was never a moment where I felt like James Franklin did not have us prepared. I think that's what some people kind of think. And I'm just telling you firsthand, being in the meetings, being in the hotel the night before, everybody's feeling good. It was a mystery as to why we always lost. And I really think it just kind of felt like sometimes they had the better players. Like, that's just a matter of the fact. Like I said, we talked about that. And we talked about that just having better classes. They just have better recruiting classes that stacks up on the field. But, Jim, I want to switch over and kind of give you some questions.
Let's
here real
it.
Quick. I want you to – I'm going to give you a scale from 1 to 10. 1 being, you know, really good in this sense and 10 being catastrophic. So I'm going to tell you, 10 is catastrophic, 1 is good. We go 10-2 and miss the playoffs. Where do you rank the season? 10 is catastrophically bad. One is really good. I probably should switch that up, but it's too late. We already set that.
Okay, we'll go with that.
We're talking how bad the season could be right now. Ten and two and miss the playoffs. Where do you rank that season?
I'm going to call it a disappointment. And it's weird because you don't have control over it. But 10-2 and making the playoffs – is so different than 10-2 and not making the playoffs. It shouldn't be because that's out of your control. But 10-2 and not making the playoffs, by the way, fans don't care that it wasn't you who, you know, makes that choice. It's a committee. But I think 10-2, not making the playoffs, if one is the best, 10 is catastrophic, I'm going to have to put it on the negative side, like a 6.
Okay. All right. Now we'll switch over. Now, I said this earlier. Now, we win one playoff game. And
yes.
Whatever. We go 10-2. We go 11-1. How much of a success is that for you? Like I said, number one, I mean, if you're rating it a 1, I mean, 1 is a ginormous success. Where do you put a 1? Let's say we lose one playoff game, then we have to play in Alabama or something and we lose. Where do you put that?
You're saying losing the first playoff game or winning one playoff?
No, you win one playoff game, okay. And then let's say you go and, you know, you lose to like an SEC, like a Georgia or an Alabama. Where do you rank that season?
I'm calling that probably like a 3, high end, because I think, first of all, and God, I hope so much, Landon, that there's a home playoff game. To me, it's you know, as a player, what the atmosphere is like for a whiteout. Okay, now if this team makes the playoffs and has a home game, it's going to be treated like a whiteout, whether they announce it officially or not. I don't care. It's a whiteout. And especially if they make this at night, or at least, you know, the 4 o'clock game, it'll be played mostly in the dark. I want to experience that, Landon. And if there's a win from a home playoff game, I'm ecstatic as a fan. I'm now, you know, excited going forward. Of course, I want to win more playoff games, but if they get in the playoffs, yay. They win a playoff game, oh my goodness, yay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Jim. I think winning one playoff game is the biggest indicator if this season was a success or not. I just think the fans want to see something. It's just, you know, since, like I said, since we got the Cotton Bowl in 2019, that was cool. Rose Bowl in 2022, all good stuff. But I think we need to win on more of an elite level. And I think we have, like we talked about, we have the star power to do it. We have the guys. We have very similar talent this year to Ohio State and a couple other of these elite programs. Now it's time to put it all together, Jim.
And I also feel like with the talent on this year's team, I'm concerned about where this team will be in 25. If they get in the playoffs, win a playoff game, you buy yourself some goodwill. And I think if you go into, you know, next year losing Drew Aller, Singleton, Allen, Tyler Warren, Abdul Carter, KJ Winston, Denai Denison, there was a lot of star power loss last year. A lot of guys went to the NFL, but you could point to, look at all these stars coming back. Next year, I don't see it the same way, Landon. So I think there's not just pressure to do well this year, it's pressure because don't know if they'll be in this same position in the next couple of years.
It's a really good point. Like, you look at defensive end and it was like, oh, okay, cool. Chop and Adisa, both, you know, first, third round. Boom, let's plug them in. Let's plug them right. We got Denai, all-star. Abdul Carter is a game wrecker. Both could be first-round draft picks. All good. Those two go. Now it's like, okay, Amin Vanover's graduating. who is even there? You know, you brought in the young cat that's still supposed to be a senior this year in high school, got him in year. Max Granville got him in a year early. But, you know, there is definitely like some positions. Running back, you got Cam Wallace, who's actually been really he's really been impressing people around the facility. But it's like, you know, there's a big question mark there. You got Bo Pribula. Do you want Bo Pribula to lead the team? Is there a competition between Bo and Grunkmeyer? Seems like Grunkmeyer can really spin the ball. So, you know, there definitely is, if everybody leaves that we expect to leave, if we have a really good year, let's put it that way, we go 11-1, win a playoff game, I would venture to say KJ Winston, Jalen Reed, Denai Dennis Sutton, Chop, Kobe King, Drew Aller, Nick Singleton, just Katron Allen, Tyler Warren. I mean, all of those guys probably gone if we have a really good year. So I don't know. Maybe if you're a Penn State fan, you're like, hey, I'm not too mad if we don't have an amazing year, because it's not going to look too great the next year. But I mean, you can't look too far ahead, though. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who you're going to get out of the transfer portal. But just the overall general consensus, yes, I do think the star power next season for the 2025 year is going to take a step down if a lot of these guys go to the NFL that we expect them to.
Well, keeping – yes. So it just means all the more the pressure is on this team to perform.
And not even to mention 2 6-year defensive tackles. I mean, you're counting on those guys, and then it's like, you know, that's awesome. I mean, the D-line is completely overhauled next year.
Yes, that there's a lot to change over, and it just, you know, not to look too far ahead, but it just tells you this year is when I think there's a lot of pressure on James Franklin. And, you know, I can already see it already. You know, if they go 10-2 and don't make the playoffs, you know, James Franklin's going to be telling you how well they did. We won 10 games again. And, you know, the fan base isn't happy. Well, you know, we're one of the few schools that could win 10 games and the fan base isn't happy. Well, you know what? This is what's been – that's your lot. It could be worse. I mean, Ryan Day probably has to make the national championship game. He has to beat Michigan, and they might be happy. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the bed you made for yourself. Ryan Day has put himself in that position. James, this is the position you are in. Sorry, that is it. You do have the talent where you're going to be favored in 11 out of 12 games. Okay. Kudos to you, James, for getting the talent there and developing it to put yourself in this position. Guess what? Now you've got to win some of these games. Yep. And as you pointed out, you know, it's sad to have to go back to 2016 to say that's when we last won a big game.
Yeah.
But
yeah. No, you're right, Jim. It is. It's time to win for Penn State. And the most important piece of winning is battling up front. So I'm going to pivot right here, give a couple of things from the media here. This is from Audrey Snyder on Twitter, and she was talking to Drew Shelton after practice this past week, and Drew Shelton said that he got a call from Cooper Cousins, young offensive lineman, and looks like he's actually be playing a lot of offensive guard instead of center, which honestly was kind of surprising. But he got a call from Cooper Cousins at around 11 at night. This is during camp, by the way, when guys, all they want to do is go home and chill. And Cooper's asking, you know, hey, what do I do on this block? How do I fit? And Drew said, you know, are you in the facility right now? And Cooper said, yeah, I'm still here. I'm studying. I'm in the film room. And he said, Cooper, you need to go home right now. We got to be up at 6 a.m. So just to share with you. And then Franklin, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but Franklin said that Cooper Cousins has some of the best work ethic you've seen from a young freshman, just in general, not even just offensive line. So definitely excitement there for an offensive line that is young. And like we said, it is important to be battling in the trenches. So I know that's someone we are definitely a big fan of is Cooper Cousins, and we've both gotten to talk to him a lot. And someone I think next year is definitely going to be a starter at some place on the offensive line. We don't know where yet, but going to be an impactful player nonetheless, Jim.
I think what's interesting, we talked about the star power lost for the 25 season. The offensive line, maybe you – build the team around that offensive line and some of these upcoming players, Landon.
Yeah, no, you're still going to – I mean, outside of Sal Wormley next year, you're going to return everybody from this – excuse me, Nick Dawkins most likely will probably be gone. He'll be – can have the option. That'll be the last year guys can have that six-year option after next year. It's the final year of that. No one else has – my class does not have that at all, only the guys that were in 2020. So we'll definitely lose Sal Wormley. We might lose Nick Dawkins. But for the most part, it'll be really nice to have a group of guys that is coming back solidified. And, you know, I keep saying this. You tell people back in 2018, 2019, Jim, that the offensive line is going to be the backbone of this team. I think they start to laugh at you and giggle, especially like 2020, 2021. Shoot, when I was coming in and I was hearing it on Twitter about the offensive line. So very proud that we are one of the dependable groups on this team, Jim.
And you were part of doing that, Landon. All right, that is it for quarter three. When we come back, we're going to play a bit of over-under, and Landon's going to be feeding me the over-unders. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. Landon, I am looking forward to this segment. You are going to give me some numbers, give me the option of going over or under on the potential stat for this coming season. Let's get right to it. We only have one quarter to hit them all. Where are you going to start?
All right, I'm going to start us out on offense, and I'm going to go Tyler Warren over under, 9.5 touchdowns. So will he break into the double digits? And I think this is a question that I have because him and Theo – they both had 7 touchdowns last year, but now Tyler's the number one tight end. I don't think the tight end number two, whether that's Khalil Dinkins, whether that's Andrew Appelier, is going to play as big of a tight end two role as Tyler Warren played in the tight end two role last year, if you get what I'm saying. So I think there's more of an opportunity for Tyler to be just extremely dominant, be that number one guy and haul in double digit tight end touchdowns there, be a huge red zone target. But there's the over-under, Jim, at 9.5 touchdowns. That's where I'm setting it for Tyler Warren.
All right. Well, let's take a look at last year's stats a little bit more in depth, too. Just to confirm what you said, Tyler Warren, Theo Johnson, we thought of Theo Johnson as number one. Interesting that they each had 34 receptions last year. Identical. And Tyler Warren did it with 422 yards versus 341 for Theo Johnson. Interesting, they had more yards, but as you pointed out, they both had 7 touchdown receptions. So what does this tell me? Well, there were 14 TDs for 1 and 1A. Okay, that's how I would put those tight ends last year, not really 1 and 2. This year, Tyler Warren, he's number one. And I can't help but think, now part of the getting the touchdowns, especially touchdowns receptions, is are you the target? Do they choose to go to you, okay? Tyler Warren could be all world, but if Andy Kotelnicki doesn't choose to go to him, he's not going to get those touchdowns. My take is Kotelnicki's going to go to Tyler Warren early and often, Landon. I think Tyler Warren's going to have a big year. I think Tyler Warren creates mismatches. And Andy Kotelnicki, he's going to look at that and go, I got a great target here. Yeah. Over, Landon, over 9.5.
I like it, Jim. I like it. I have to agree with you there on the over. I would even venture to say that I think he's going to go for 12 touchdowns this year. I am really high on Tyler Warren. Call him Psycho T. He's a different dude when he puts the helmet on. And I think Drew Aller is going to continue to feel like, hey, this is my safety blanket. This is where I go in the red zone to secure myself a touchdown. And I think I'll have multiple games with multiple touchdowns. So I am really excited about Tyler Warren and the opportunity he presents. I gave this fact last week, though, and I don't think this is going to change too much. That whoever, like I said, I don't think they're going to see as many targets as Tyler saw in that tight end two role, you know, put kind of, not really a two-row, like you said, it's 1A, 1B. But Khalil Dinkins or Andrew Appelier, they're going to be on the field a lot, Jim. Penn State runs a 2 tight end set or more tight ends 51% of the time. So more often than not, they have 2 tight ends on the field. So, I still think more of those targets will go to Tyler, but one of those guys is going to have to be impactful. I don't think Luke Reynolds is fully ready yet, still a really young freshman. Dinkins and Rapoje are going to definitely have to have a big year for this Penn State offense. But moving on, we're going to the wide receiver realm. I got Trey Wallace over under 1,000 yards, Jim. We put it right at 1,000, and I want to give you this stat. Penn State has only had two 1,000-yard receivers since 2014.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Only two. And just to give you those, I'm sure people are curious, Jahan Dotson in 2021 had about, I think, 1,100. And then Chris Godwin was the other guy. I think that was in 2015 Chris Godwin did that. Might have been 14. But, yeah, Godwin and Jahan are the only people to do it in the past 10 years.
Two pretty good receivers. Now, I'm always a little bit leery when you talk about wide receivers and number of receptions, number of yards, because so much of it is dependent on how often offensive coordinator sets it up, a play to go to that receiver, and how often does the quarterback, if he has options on the play, how often does the quarterback choose to go to him, okay? Now, a year ago, Trey Wallace had just 19 receptions for 228 yards, all right? Now, he took a bit of a backseat to Lambert Smith when he was healthy and played, and he did have injury issues. Obviously, he's got to get on the field. He's got to be available. As they say, Landon, the greatest ability is availability. So get on the field. I love coach talk, Landon.
I know. And,
I think he was the primary target against West Virginia last year. I think he had a lot of catches, didn't he?
He did. That was, Keandre Lambert-Smith, he was the one with two touchdowns and 130 yards. But he only had, I think, like four or five. Trey had seven receptions in that game. So the reason why I felt confident kind of giving you this stat, and I'm not going to say which way I'm going yet, but it's the fact of it's clear they want to target Trey Wallace, and they believe, and I've talked to NFL agents, that type of thing. A lot of people believe that Trey Wallace can be an elite tier wide receiver if he stays healthy. And if Drew Aller has the time to get him the ball, Drew Aller needs someone to help him out, be a playmaker, go get those 50-50 balls. Trey Wallace can be that dude, Jim.
I think, Landon, you hit the point. He is going to be, I believe, the clear-cut number one, okay? And I think Drew Aller's comfortable going to him, showed in that West Virginia game last year. I think Trey Wallace has the ability to get space, get himself open. I'm going to take the over. I think he needs to stay healthy. I'm taking the over. I'm a huge Trey Wallace fan. Okay. That's part of it, too. I'm going over again here.
I love it, Jim. All right. I guess sometimes I got to play devil's advocate to give a little because this guy's pretty much my neighbor. So, I see him every day. But, I'll just say under, and here's what I'll say. I think that a lot of this depends on Drew Aller having time to deliver in the pocket and being accurate. As much as he was not helped out by his wide receivers, they were not getting open. Obviously really not helped out by his offensive coordinator too much, but Trey Wallace is someone who creates some separation. But I just, I'm a little bit worried about this young offensive line in the pass pro situations when they're going against elite defensive lines like Ohio State, stuff like that. Now, outside of Ohio State, there aren't too many elite defensive linemen that they have to face. But, I'll just say, I think just a couple ticks under 1,000 yards. Because like I said, it's only happened twice in the past 10 years. Like I said, I'll play devil's advocate. I'll go under here for Trey Wallace on 1,000. But I think it'll be very close.
All right, fair enough. Right. What do you got all next?
Right. Now, let's move over. We'll switch over to the defensive side of the ball. I got Abdul Carter over under 6 sacks. Just to give you an idea here, Chop last year had 5.5. Adisa had 5.
You have Adisa only at 5? I have him at 7. And I have him at 7.5, regardless.
Oh, I might be wrong. You might be, because he had a 2.5 against UMass. You know what? You might be absolutely right. I might have messed that one up.
And, I could see this happen. My issue with the sacks is, obviously, if you're a sack guy, if you're good rushing the quarterback, you have a better chance of getting more sacks, okay? Mm-hmm. But I will also point out that Johnny Dixon last year had 4.5 sacks. Why? Well, the defense was set up for him, blitzing and the way it worked. So I think you're a little bit dependent on, I'll say, I don't want to say luck, but just having the opportunity. Now, you mentioned Adisa Isaac, or I said 7.5. Abdul Carter had 4.5 last year. What was Chop Robinson at?
You know what? Now that I realize that I might have been looking, I think I was looking at 2022 when I put down these. So I don't, maybe Chop did have more than 5.5, 5.5.
I'm looking at my stat sheet, and where is Chop Robinson on this list?
Missed a couple games. Dang, I'm looking.
But anyway,
I still think 6. Abdul had 4.5 last year, got to rush a lot, but it's a whole different game now for him. So I still like where I'm at with 6.
I think you're right on the number. If you had said 5.5, I would have said over. If you had said 6.5, I would have said under. Okay. So I think that number itself, Landon, I'm going to call it a push.
A push. Okay. I like it. I do think, you know, he has the ability to be a game breaker and completely just wreck a game open like Chop Robinson has done in the past. And we've talked about this. I think Abdul needs to make that transition. He needs to have a little bit better hands. Tries to rely on his athleticism a lot. When he did get to rush the passer last year, it was in that 7-up look where that's really hard on offensive lines and quarterbacks. It's about confusing them, having a lot of penetrator looper. They were running stunts and blitzes. Now he's at defensive end. He's lining up and he's just going against an offensive tackle that, you know, basically knows what he's doing. He knows the rush is coming, et cetera. I have heard from just some talk around the media that it does look like Abdul will play a little bit of linebacker in certain instances. So I am curious to see how that's going to work.
James Franklin said they might line him up in different places. And I screwed up. Chop Robinson had 4 sacks last year. Okay. And he did miss those couple games. That's part of it. But there were also games where Chop Robinson like took over the game.
Yeah.
And it was pressure on the quarterback. He may not have officially got the sack, but he was a total game changer. So that's the other part of it. And I think we might see that with Abdul Carter.
I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of just barely getting it off because Abdul's so good, like Chop, of bending that edge, getting around the corner. Sometimes you get there just a half a second late. And I do apologize again. I just realized both those stats I gave for a decent Chop were their 2022 football season. That's bad journalism on my part. I'll take blame for that one. But yeah, I still think 6 is a great place to put it for Abdul. And I think I'll also just barely say under. And like I said, I think there's going to be a ton of those plays where he is really disruptive, but you don't necessarily get the sack. And I see a lot of coaches say, hey, sometimes that sack number really doesn't matter that much to us. We want to see those pressures. We want to see those QB hits. Are you being disruptive? Are you getting in the quarterback's head? Are you making him just a little bit scared to throw that ball and really step back and be confident in his offensive line? I think that almost means more than just those sack numbers. So I will say under, but I agree with you. I think it's just barely under for Abdul Carter there. And now headed in to – we're going to go back to offense. I want to go Drew Aller, and I'm going to put it at 3,000 yards. We have only had one season of a 3,000-yard quarterback since Trace McSorley left. It was Sean Clifford in 2021.
I'm going to go with the over because he was fairly close. My idea of over is because with the new offensive coordinator – I think the offense is going to be better as a whole, and it won't take him doing a lot more to get over that 3,000-yard mark. Unfortunately, Landon, we are out of time. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.